way back in time.
Want to move back to past when I was born, past when you were born, past when America was born, all the way back to that time when the world was born, when there was nothing. And all of a sudden, God spoke and he said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And everything exploded into being. And go all the way through, all the way down to Genesis 1:26, where God created man and put him in this wonderful place that he had created. And he said, "You can do whatever you want." He said, "Go ahead and wander the garden. Go do whatever you want. I want you to hang out. Oh, it's not good that you should be alone. So here, have a partner, have a woman to be your partner." And there's Adam and Eve, and they're wandering through the garden, and they're doing everything. And God says, "Oh, wait, one thing. There's a tree over there, that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, don't eat the fruit from that tree. But you can do whatever else you want. You can have whatever else you want." How many people know that if you can have everything in the world, Ethan, you can have whatever you want in this entire room. You can have it all. The only thing you cannot have is this piece of paper right here. How many of you know that right now what Ethan is trying to figure out is, how can I get that piece of paper? How can I get that paper from him? That's right. Oh, it's an email. Well, we'll just put that over here. Temptation is a funny thing. It gets our attention. And they saw that fruit. And they had a little bit of help. This serpent, this snake came up. Said, "Doesn't that fruit look good? Look at it. It's shinier. The fruit on that tree, it is shinier than the fruit on any other tree in this whole garden." God didn't really say you can't have that, did he? He didn't really tell you you can't have that fruit, did he? "Nah, go ahead. You can have it." What did he say? He said, "You'll die." No, he didn't. What he meant is, if you eat it, you'll be like him. And you want to be like God, don't you? That's what you want, right? You want to be like God? You can be like God. All you have to do is reach out and take that fruit and eat it. That's all you have to do. Go ahead. And how many of you know Eve reached out and she ate that fruit? And how many of you know that her knucklehead husband, Adam, was standing right there going, "Wow, that fruit looks good. That looks really good." He was doing what he was told. And something happened in that moment when they ate that fruit. Because they knew things that they weren't supposed to know all of a sudden. And in Genesis 3, verses 8 through 11, we read this. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." They hid themselves. In that moment, they knew that they could not face God. In that moment, they knew that something had happened. Read the rest of that passage, and it says, "The Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Who told you?'" They had no concept of the fact that they were wandering around naked before they ate the fruit. We don't know how long they were wandering around, but they were running around, and they were at the nude beach, and they were everywhere. They were the original nudists, and they didn't have any concept of it. There was no sin. There was nothing. And all of a sudden, they ate of this fruit and they knew shame. They were ashamed that they were naked. And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? How did you know? Who told you?" We were never meant to know shame. Do you know that? Do you understand that? We were never meant to know shame. That feeling, when we have that feeling, that is something that we were not originally programmed with. It's never supposed to happen. The problem is, now we do know shame, and we know sin. And what was the name of that fruit? Knowledge of good and evil. We know evil now. We were never supposed to know evil. People come up to you and they say, "Why is there evil in the world?" Well, it wasn't supposed to be. There was never supposed to be evil in the world. These are tools that Satan uses against us. He doesn't cause it, but he does use it against us. And he does mess with our minds. And he digs in. And when we start to feel shame, he gets right there and starts whispering in our ear, and he turns it into condemnation. And I heard someone talking about the difference between condemnation and conviction. And the difference is, condemnation holds you down. Conviction is an invitation to change. But Satan gets in your ear, and he says, "You'll never amount to anything. You did that thing." And that thing that you're feeling shame for, he twists it like a knife in your back. "You'll never amount to anything. You'll never be able to get past this. You can't do it." Or when we experience evil, and we all experience evil to some extent or another. I got to tell you, I'm going to stop turning on the news. I turned on the news this morning, and Sarah had the news on in the bedroom. I had the news on in the living room, and we were watching the same program. And all I heard from the bedroom was Sarah saying, "What is wrong with people?" The two stories back to back. One was a 49-year-old man who made arrangements with a 19-year-old special needs student, went into the high school where he was and had sex with him. What's wrong with people? The other one was a guy who videotaped himself having sex with at least two kids that were under the age of 13. What is wrong with people? Why do we do this stuff? This is stuff that was not ever supposed to happen. And Satan twists it and he turns it and he says, if there really was a God, stuff like this wouldn't happen. But here's the thing, it's not what God intended. It's not the way it was supposed to be. What did God intend? In Genesis 1, 26 through 31, it says this, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay, stop just for a second. Over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What do serpents do? They're creepy things that creep on the earth. Adam was supposed to have dominion over that thing that he listened to. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he made, and behold, it was what? You left out a word. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. It was very good. And then Scripture goes further and gives us a description of what God had intended. In Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God had fellowship with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. He taught that song that we sing, he walks with me and talks with me a long life's merry way. He lives. Narrow. So I did not grow up in the church. I did not grow up listening to hymns. I am new to all of this. My wife has introduced me to them. She would say she forced me to understand them. I love them now. But every once in a while, the words, they get twisted up in my brain. But that's the way it was supposed to be. They walked with God. They talked with God. It wasn't prayer. It was walking side by side with God. Real enough that they heard him walking through the garden. And they hid themselves in their shame after they had broken that fellowship, after they had eaten that fruit, and after they had ruined it. When Satan tricked Eve and Adam didn't step in and stop it, humanity was put in prison. We became blind. We became lame. We became poor. We became oppressed. But God was not content to leave things like that. How many of you know that God gets the last word? Satan never gets the last word. God gets the last word. And it sounded something like this. In Genesis 3:15, God looked at the serpent and he said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And that's not a good enough translation. I like the translation that says, you'll bite him on the heel, and he will crush your head. Thank you. God said, there's coming a day when there will be one who will crush your head. You'll bite his heel, Satan, but he will crush your head. And then, when the fullness of time was realized, in Luke 4, verses 17 through 21, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And people should be up and jumping around and yelling right now, because that is exciting. Because that is what it's all about. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And this is Jesus saying to Satan, "I'm going to crush your head. And when I do, the chains that you have put on humanity are going to fall off. Because, oh, guess what? You think you have the key, but I have it right here." And in that moment, Jesus looked and he said, "All those people that are blinded and crippled and imprisoned are going to be free." So here we are today. And we're sitting in our world. And those of us who have chosen to follow Jesus, who have submitted our lives to him, are free. We're healed from the spiritual diseases we once suffered from. We were once blind, but now we see. Now, it's interesting that those words were penned by a man who was blind. Penned by a man who used to be a slave trader. Realized he was a slave and got set free. You should read the story of the song Amazing Grace sometime. You should see it. We're free. And we should all be celebrating that fact. And we should be excited. But there's a problem. See, I'm competitive, and I don't like to lose. And my wife tells me sometimes that I'm a bad loser. But Satan is a really bad loser. And in 1 Peter 5:8, we have a warning. "Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." He's sneaking around, prowling around, looking for someone to devour, looking for someone to destroy. Looking for someone who's not aware of what's going on and traps them. He plays with our minds. He messes with us. He tries to trick us like he did to Eve. He waits until a moment of weakness when a stray thought comes through. Do you understand the Bible tells us to take our thoughts captive? Do you understand why the Bible tells us to take our thoughts captive? Because while Satan can't literally make us think something, if he sees that we're thinking something, he can play with it. And he can mess around with it. And he can twist it around. And so a long, long time ago, the reason why I know Jayla's parents, Mike and Val, is because we were on a ministry team together. And we used to go out and we used to do mime. Stop laughing, Sarah. It's not that funny. Behave. But one of the skits that we used to do was the Carmen song, "The Champion." And there's a point in that song where God is talking to both Jesus and Satan, and he looks at Satan and he says, "You shut your mouth. You've been twisting my words to deceive my people for years." And that's what Satan does. It's what he did to Eve. He twisted God's words. It's what he does to us. You'll think of something that you did, and you'll be dwelling on something. Yep. It's that day, and you blew it again. And you're walking along thinking, "Man, I'm sorry, I did that." And you're wanting to repent, and Satan comes up and he says, "God will never forgive you for that. God will never let you live that down." And you start to hear that. And maybe you start to believe that. Instead of responding the biblical way, saying, "Really? My Bible says that God has taken my sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west. And Satan, I don't know if you know this, but I don't care how far you walk east, you will never start walking west unless you turn around." "Really, Satan? Because my Bible says that my God will take my sin, which are right now red as crimson, and he will make them white as snow." That's what my Bible says. That's what my God has said to me. So you take your lies and you pack them up in your little bag and you head on down the road and go find someone else to mess around with, because this house is closed. But we don't respond like that, do we? We feel trapped. We allow ourselves to feel trapped. And we allow ourselves to fall into a cycle of sin and continue doing things. And we allow Satan to continue telling us, "Told you. You don't belong. You're such a loser. Failure." Let me give you some truth this morning. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, it says this: "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And Satan would love it if we would just stop reading right there, because that covers all of us. We've all done that. We've all done some of that. And he would love it if we would just stop right there. But it doesn't stop there. "Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." And while Satan would love to have us stop at that point where it says we're never going to inherit heaven, God says, "No, you were washed, you were cleansed, you were justified, you were made righteous." Satan comes up to us and says, "You're lost forever." God comes up to us and says, "Who told you that? Who told you that? And we might try to go to God and say, but I did this, I did this, I did this, and I did this. He looks over at Jesus and says, yeah, what do you have to say? And Jesus says, no, he's covered by my blood. She's covered by my blood. Those things are not what we are. So there's a video that I want to show. And it's a song. And I, when it first came out, I hated it because I didn't listen to it clearly. And when I stopped and I listened to it, I'm like, oh, this is a good song. This is really a good song. This is amazing. Because when I first heard it, I thought that it was one of those prosperity doctrine songs and remind me who I am. And I am this and I am that. But that's not what this song is saying at all. In that moment, when we hear Satan tell us who we were, let's let God remind us of who we are.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror, all I see is who I don't want to be. Remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is, tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. When my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. I'm the one you love, I'm the one you love, that will be enough. I'm the one you love. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Whoa. Tell me once again who I am. Who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you, to you. Thank you.
this morning, I don't know where you're at. I don't know the lies that you're being told, the things that are being twisted in your head. But this is what I do know. I do know that if you are a follower of Christ, you are his beloved. You are the one he loves. God had the prophets speak to Israel and say, "You are the apple of my eye." And that extends to us. We are the apple of his eye. No matter what circumstances say, and no matter what you may be hearing about those circumstances. And this morning, if you're here and you've been tricked by Satan telling you that you're something that you're not, Scripture says you are a new creation. If you think you're not good enough, well, you're right about that. You're not good enough. But thankfully, Jesus died on the cross, and he is good enough. If you're believing that you'll never escape that old way of thinking or that old way of living, Jesus came to set the captives free. And this morning, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to come down to this altar. Spend some time. We're going to spend some time in prayer. I'll pray a prayer of dismissal for everybody else. But if that's you, come on down. Jesus came to set you free. And if you leave here today still in bondage, that's your choice. Lord, thank you so much that we can trust you, that we have your promise, that we have what you have told us. It's not that we will never measure up. It's not that we will continue to fail. It's not that we can't make it. It is that we are have your righteousness imputed unto us. It is that we have been justified by your blood. It is that we have been made whole. And we are your beloved, and we are the redeemed, and it is time that the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lord, thank you so much that we can trust you for our identity. We can trust you for who to know who we are. And for those that are struggling with that today, Lord, speak into their spirit. Speak into them and let them hear clearly that you love them, that you died for them, and that you have made them new. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if that's you, come down here and let's pray.